the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, I want to greet you with happy anniversary and also a question. The question is, what is our anniversary all about? What we're celebrating today? Does anyone know that? All Saints? Yes? Something that's very specific and particular to this parish. Anyone know what our anniversary is? Joya?
Well, we came here.
That's right. This is actually the fourth anniversary of our arrival at this property, our moving here. Remember, 4 years ago, we packed up at Vines Creek on the day of Pentecost. We brought everything over to this church, and our first services here were on the Sunday after, the Sunday of All Saints. This is our anniversary of our new location. It's a time for us to give thanks to God, to look back at the past, and see His strong right hand guiding us, and helping us, and leading us. Remember the extraordinary events that led to our move to this property. We give thanks to God for that. We also look ahead to the future, because we came to this property and were entrusted with a mission. We were entrusted with that same mission that the apostles had, to build up the church, to bring people that good news of salvation, to incorporate people into the life of Christ, to let them receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, to be united with the Father, to become saints. And what a wonderful timing in God's providence it was that we came here on All Saints Sunday, because the church is a factory of saints. That is the very reason that we're here, to become saints. There is no other reason to gather here than to become a saint. And last week was the celebration of Holy Pentecost. The church is still decorated with the green. We still have the trees. And this is a sign of newness of life for us in the Orthodox Church, all the greenery. If you look online, some of you probably have seen on your Facebook feeds, you've seen all of the churches across the Orthodox world that are decorated in green. I saw one photo of a church that brought in so much grass and spread it over the floor that you thought the church was outside. And so many flowers that you thought maybe the church was in a garden. So this is why we decorate our churches in green and have the flowers to remember the Garden of Eden. Because it was in the Garden of Eden that God first breathed His Spirit into man. And man became a living being. Remember, God took dust from the earth and He breathed into that dust. And He created Adam. And Adam lived with Eve and with God in communion, in paradise. Pentecost is our restoration to paradise, to that communion with God and the communion with one another. Pentecost is about returning to life as it should be. This is what we celebrate in Pentecost. And it's a big event in the life of our church. In fact, the Sundays throughout the year are numbered after Pentecost. This is the first Sunday after Pentecost. Next week, it'll be the second Sunday after Pentecost. It's the Sunday of Saints in North America. And then each and every week thereafter is numbered after Pentecost. And it's for a very important reason. Because each Sunday through the year, we look back to the renewal of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, to the mission of the church, to the good news of the gospel. Remember, our primary focus, to receive the Holy Spirit, which is to become holy. And this is something that we carry with us throughout the whole year, always looking back to that Pentecost, always remembering that great commission. It's interesting when we hear the hymnology of the church, we heard in the Kentuckian today that the church offers to God the martyrs as the first fruits of this newness of life. This blossoming and flowering in the church is seen very concretely in the people in the church, specifically the martyrs, those who are witnesses to Christ, those who receive the Holy Spirit and live by the power of that Spirit and brought forth real fruit in their lives. The martyrs were the first fruits. And in fact, this Sunday, the first one after Pentecost, was initially the Sunday, not of All Saints, but the Sunday of all the martyrs. Later, over time, it was expanded to include all of the saints. from every time and place, from every nation and ethnic background, every profession and way of life, the married, the celibate, the monastics, the clergy, the lay, the old, the young, and also the known and the unknown. We'll speak a little bit about this in a moment. But first I want to share with you a quote, and it's from the Desert Fathers. Abba Poman said that Abba John, and this is a great way the Desert Fathers would speak in humility, they wouldn't always speak their own word, they would cite what somebody else had said. Abba Poman said that Abba John said that the saints are like a group of trees, each bearing different fruit, but watered from the same source. The practices of one saint differ from those of another, but it is the same spirit that works in them all. And of course, this is the Holy Spirit that works in the saints and makes them holy. And they bring forth fruit in their lives, no matter where they're from, what time they lived, what they do as a profession, all of these things. The Spirit brings forth fruit in their lives, and they witness to Christ in various ways. The garden has many wonderful fruits. Thinking about this garden brings us, of course, back to Old Testament times. Remember the creation of Adam and Eve, and then their fall, and their leaving the garden. Remember also today in the epistle, those righteous men and women in the Old Testament, those who were the prophets, remember their faith. And you listen to that epistle to the Hebrews and you get goosebumps. How much faith they had. And we have to realize how the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament. Metropolitan Herotheus Lahos, he tells us that the Holy Spirit operated in one primary way in the Old Testament. And that was to reveal the knowledge of sin and the coming of the Savior. All of the prophets, they spoke about the sin of the world, the sin of Israel, and called them to repentance. And they foretold the coming of the Savior who would grant them remission of sins and who would then pour out his Spirit upon all flesh and reunite them to the Father. The Spirit in the Old Testament revealed the knowledge of sin and the coming of the Savior. And he says that in the New Testament, the Spirit operates in a much more powerful way because the Spirit grants that forgiveness of sins. And the Spirit makes us sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We read in the New Testament that it's the Holy Spirit that's been given to each and every one of us and cries out from within, Abba, Father. We receive that adoption by grace through the Holy Spirit. Become sons and daughters of God. Children of God. Now I want to ask a question. How many of you have seen the movie Twins? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, some of you. In this movie, there are these two people that are twins, and they're raised in very different ways. They're separated at their birth. One is raised on a tropical island, a place of paradise, given the best schooling, best upbringing, raised in all of the good things of this world. Even biologically speaking, this person is a superior specimen. Arnold Schwarzenegger was chosen as the actor for this. And then the other was raised in the worst things of life. Biologically even, Danny DeVito represents this person, a short fellow, compared to Arnold Schwarzenegger, not the greatest human beings physically speaking, not a person of superior intelligence, and these two opposite ends of the spectrum. And in the movie, they come to meet up again, and how they come to find that they're actually not only biological twins, but they are the same, though their external circumstances are different. Now, I mentioned this movie to transition or segue into something from the lives of the saints. There's a story about two sisters who were separated in childhood, and they were raised in very different ways. One was brought to a monastery and raised in the monastery in great holiness. The person became a nun at a young age, lived a life of prayer, asceticism, fasting, service to the sisters and to the poor. She lived an exemplary life. And the other was raised in the city and was given over to a brothel and lived a dissolute life. She was raised in this. And only later in life did she come to repentance. and join a monastery, and actually the same monastery as her sister. Now it so happened that both of these sisters died, and everyone was wondering about the state of their souls. Because one was exemplar in the monastic life, and the other one was new to it and had her struggles in it, didn't make much progress, at least visibly seen. And the elder of the monastery prayed to God to give him some kind of an indication of their state of being. Were they in paradise? Were they in Hades? What was their situation? And it was revealed to him that actually both of the sisters were in paradise. And some of the nuns wondered about this. How could this be? You know, one lived such a great life and one lived such a terrible life. And the elder explained to them that they lived actually the same life. They lived the same life, not externally, but internally. One was given the wonderful, beautiful church life and came to love virtue. And the other experienced that ugly life of the world, that life of vice, and came to hate that life. And as St. Basil says, it's like the flip of a coin. We can love virtue and hate vice. We can love that which pleases God and hate that which displeases Him. And it's the same thing. They were living the same internal life, even though their circumstances were different. We remember this today on All Saints because we see different circumstances in their lives. And sometimes it's not so obvious who's a saint and who's not a saint. Even in the icon, something unusual happens for the Sunday of All Saints. There are saints in the icons that don't have inscriptions on them. Normally, for a canonical icon, a legitimate icon in the eyes of the church, you have a saint and you have an inscription saying who they were, giving their name. In the icon in the center of the church, there are saints who are nameless, who are unknown. Because we don't realize their sanctity, their holiness, that the outward circumstances of their life don't reveal that inward struggle to hate vice and to love virtue, to cling to God and to avoid everything that displeases Him, to persevere in their lives, which may be extremely difficult. These are equally saints, just like those whom we know about. And it's an encouragement to us, because none of us were raised in a monastery, none of us on a tropical island, none of us had the best things that we could have in our upbringing. And some of us have had some pretty bad things in our upbringing. We've gone through a lot. And we should be encouraged because we can have unity with all of the rest of the saints. We can have unity with God in our struggle. No matter what the external circumstances, no matter what people might think are limited vantage and viewpoints, no matter what people might say or think of us, we can actually make that same struggle that the saints made. We can carry that same cross, and we can follow Christ. This is a great opportunity for us, brothers and sisters, to remember the great gift that we have in the church, to make use of this beautiful life of the church, to likewise avoid the ugliness of the world, to recommit ourselves to Christ, and struggle for Him, no matter what our past has been like. But also to see God's hand in our past, who's brought us here, who's gathered us together, who sent down and renewed us in the Holy Spirit just last week, to see God's wonderful work with us, to remember our high calling to be saints. I'll leave you with one quote. This is a quote from St. Augustine. He tells us, "There is no saint without a past, and there's no sinner without a future." Brothers and sisters, as we remember the past, as we look to the future, let us remember that God is leading us through His Holy Spirit and Christ to His heavenly kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.